Buried in Srimad Bhagavatam, canvas 3, chapter 15, description of the kingdom of God. Text 34. Tadvam mamusya paramasya vikunta brato. Kardum pravishtam hade mahimanda divyam. Lokani ho rajatamantara bhava drishtya. Papiya sastraya iveri pavosya yatra. Therefore, vam, unto this too, amusya, of him, paramasya, the supreme, Vikunta Bratuhu, the Lord of Vaikuntha, kartum, to bestow, prakrishtam, benefit, Iha, in the matter of this offense. Dhimahi, let us consider. Mandadibhyam, those whose intelligence is not very nice. Lokan, to the material world. Itaha, from this place. Vaikuntha. Rajatam, go. Antarabhava, duality. Drishtya, on account of seeing. Patiyasaha, sinful. Traya, three. Ime, these. Ripavaha, enemies. Asya, of a living entity. Yatra, where? Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Therefore, let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies. Purport. The reason why pure souls come into the existential circumstances of the material world, which is considered to be the criminal department of the Supreme Lord, is stated in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, verse 27. It is stated that as long as the living entity is pure, he is in complete harmony with the desires of the Supreme Lord. But as soon as he becomes impure, he is in disharmony with the desires of the Lord. By contamination, he is forced to transfer to this material world, where the living entities have three enemies, namely desire, anger, and lust. These three enemies force the living entities to continue material existence. And when one is free from them, he is eligible to enter the kingdom of God. One should not therefore be angry in the absence of an opportunity for sense gratification, and one should not be lusty to acquire more than necessary. In this verse it is clearly stated that the two doormen should be sent into the material world where criminals are allowed to reside. Since the basic principles of criminality are sense gratification, anger, and unnecessary lust, persons conducted by these three enemies of the living entity are never promoted to Vaikuntha. People should learn Bhagavad Gita and accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the Lord of everything. They should practice satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord instead of trying to satisfy their own senses. Training in Krishna consciousness will help one to be promoted to Vaikuntha. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki tadvāma musya paramasya vikuntha bhratu kartum prakṛṣṇa mahat dhīmahi manda dhībhyam lokāne to vrajatam antara bhava drishtya pati yasastraya ineri pavosya yatra. Therefore, let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt, for thus benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world. But the living entities have three kinds of enemies. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains two most essential things in this world. The most essential knowledge which everyone has to know. How the living entities and why the living entities fall down into this material world. What is the essence of this material life and material existence. And how and why one can be promoted back to Vaikuntha Loka. Srila Prabhupada makes it extremely clear that the only cause of our fall down is karma, lust. And the only cause for us to go back, the only condition which has to be fulfilled for us to go back, is to be completely free from karma, lust. In the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that this Mahapurana explains 10 topics. In the second canto, Sri Sukadeva Goswami says that there are 10 topics which are being described in this Mahapurana. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya. He says that this Mahapurana, the topic of Mahapurana, which is coming ultimately to ashraya, summum bonum, to Krishna himself, first starts from sarga and visarga, and then sthanam, poshanam utaya. And sthanam literally means planetary systems. And sthanam, as being explained by Sukadeva Goswami, sthanam means sthitir vaikuntha vijaya. What he is explaining here, that in this material universe there are so many planetary systems. And these planetary systems, ultimately, the different levels of the consciousness of living entities. Every living entity resides on a certain level of this universe just because his consciousness is accordingly adjusted. Every planetary system which are there, 14 planetary systems are there, from hellish regions up to Brahmaloka, up to Satyaloka, or the highest planetary system in this world. But each and every planetary system is just a symbol or manifestation of certain level of consciousness. And the living entities which are reside on these 14 planetary systems are the living entities of 14 different levels of consciousness. And ultimately, what we have to understand by the description is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, by the description which is ultimately bringing us up to the Supreme Lord, to Ashraya, to the summum bonum, the description is there to understand sthitir vaikuntha vijaya. We have to understand that the highest possible level of consciousness is there in Vaikuntha. And ultimately, we have to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Vaikuntha vijaya means that the Supreme Lord is being triumphant. Here in this material world, we are all rebellious living entities. We all came here just to, you know, stage a war against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is so ridiculous, you know. We are fighting with the Supreme Lord, and he doesn't even show us. He doesn't even show himself in front of us. You know, we are saying, you know, blah, 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 blah. But he doesn't care. But what is being described here in Srimad Bhagavatam is that ultimate development of the consciousness of human being is to be in complete harmony with the Supreme Lord. And this is the consciousness of Vaikuntha. In this material world, according to the level which we occupy, our consciousness is more or less in war with the Supreme Lord. We are not in harmony with Him. We are fighting with Him internally. We don't really agree that He is the Lord and Master. We don't really agree that He has the right, and only Him has the right to have His own desires. Srila Prabhupada, he explains this in the very beginning of this purport, when he says that this kind of mentality, which brings us to this prison department of the Supreme Lord, and we are basically in prison. This is Durga. This is a big fort with 14 different departments. And the Durga Devi is the superintendent of this fort. So Srila Prabhupada says that the only reason of us being criminals is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Icchadvesha samudhinat bandva mohena bharata. Sarvabhutani sammoham sargayanti parantapa. Krishna says that Icha and Vesha, the desire which is different or which is against the desire of the Lord, and Dvesha, hatred, which is the result of this desire. This Icha and Dvesha, this duality, is very much prominent for everyone in this material world. Every living entity in this material world has the desire which is separate. And internally, we always say to the Supreme Lord, who are you to tell me? I'm on my own. I want to desire as I want. And this is called Icha or Kama. And this is the cause of fall down. This is the cause of our existence in this prison house of the Supreme Lord, in this material world, which is the prison department, as Srila Prabhupada explains. So this is in very clear terms being described here, that Sthitir Vaikuntha Vijaya. To understand the Supreme Lord, we have to accept the defeat. It is also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Parabhavastamanta Bodhajata, that whoever is born into this material world, he is born in ignorance, Abodhajata. And because of this Abodhajata, because of this avidya, because of this ignorance, Parabhavastava, he is defeated. He is defeated from the very first moment of his life. Our game is over, before it even started. Everyone in this world, coming into this world, and he is, you know, he is trying to be the Lord and Master. He's triumphant, you know, I will defeat everyone. But Srimad Bhagavatam says, Parabhava Stavata Bodhajata, you already defeated, because you are born into this ignorance. And it's just a matter of time for you to prove this. You know, you will be down there in the earth. Because everyone is supposed to die. And this is the ultimate defeat which we will have to bear. The ultimate dandavat which we will do to the Supreme Lord is when we fall dead into the floor, into the earth. Like when we had GBC meeting recently, the chairman of the GBC, he told a humorous story. He said one lady came to a doctor. And the lady asked the doctor, "Doctor, how's my health?" The doctor said, "You have only 2 weeks to live." And naturally, the lady became very nervous. "You have only 2 weeks to live." And she asked, as every one of us, you know, desperately trying to hold in this position in this world. So she asked, "Doctor, can I do something?" And the doctor said, "Yes, you can take mud bath. There is some kind of method when you put yourself into the mud and this is supposed to be healing." And she asked again in a desperate tone, "Doctor, will it help?" He said, "No, it will not help, but you will get used to being in the mud." This is, you know, Parabhava Stavata Bodhajata. We have to accept the defeat from the Supreme Lord, Vaikuntha Vijaya. And this is why all this description is there in the Supreme Lord, for us to accept that our way back to Godhead is to adjust our desires towards His desires, not to stubbornly insist that we have our desire, we have our karma. Because people, it is said here in this world that there are three enemies of the living entities. And it is explained very nicely here, that because your consciousness is not actually adjusted to the Vaikuntha atmosphere, the sages, the four Kumaras, Chatuksanas, they're saying to this Jain Vijay that your consciousness is wrong. Something is wrong in your consciousness. And because something is wrong in your consciousness, you don't belong here. Because you are seeing the animals, you are seeing the dualities, antarbhava. Antarbhava means duality. You are seeing this duality, and because of this, sargiyanti parantapa, because you have this mentality, you don't belong to the material world, no, to the spiritual world. Your place is there in the material world, and there you will meet the three enemies. Because you're perceiving somebody as enemy, it means that you belong to the material world. Vaikuntha consciousness means the consciousness of no enemies. Ajatashatruhu. This is the name of Maharaj Yudhishthira, who is the epitome of the supreme devotee. The devotee, he doesn't see anyone as an enemy. But because you have seen us as an enemies, you have seen us as somebody, as an obstruction, you don't belong to Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha, one of the translation of this word Vaikuntha or Vikuntha, is the place where there is no obstruction. In this material world, there are so many obstructions. And ultimately, the obstructions are within, not without. All the problems are within, not without. But in the spiritual world, there is no obstructions. In the spiritual world, this whole world is totally free from obstructions. But because you have this obstruction inside, you don't belong to the material, to the spiritual world. You have to go down to the material world. And in the material world, you will meet the three enemies. It's also explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, where he says that in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Trividham Narakasyedam, that there are three kinds, Dvaram Nashanam Atmana, that there are three gates, three kinds of gates which go to hell, which bring you to hell, and which completely destroy your Atma, your soul. Krishna says that whoever has these three enemies, he is destroyed. This is Kama, this is Krodha, and this is Lobha. These three enemies are there. But the people, they are so foolish. They don't understand that this is enemies. And they don't understand that the world which we live in is hell. This is amazing. How people, they treat these three things, Kama, Krodha, and Lobha, as the friends, not the enemies. And how the people, they think that this world is a nice place. You know, this place is hell. It's not that to go to hell, we have to go somewhere else. Bombay is a hell. If you don't agree with this, something is wrong. This material world is a hell. Every place is a hell. There is no heaven in this material world. If you have this understanding that something is hell and something is heaven, something must be wrong. Prabhupada explained it very beautifully. Once he was in London and he was giving a TV interview. And a lady, stupid lady in the TV, she asked, Swamiji, do you have a concept of hell in your religion? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, London is hell. Yes, we have a concept of hell. This is London. Because this is a hellish place. Every place in this material world is a hell. Because in every place in this material world, you're being harassed by these three enemies. By Kama, Krodha, and Lobha. And because you're harassed, because you are tortured by these three enemies, it's hell. No matter where you are. Once also. Again, the story explains how we don't understand this point. Because we always think, you know, it's everything is nice. It's just some little adjustment has to be there. You know, otherwise everything is nice. It's fine, the sun is shining, it's a little hot, it should be a little cooler. Everything else is okay, you know. So I'm hale and healthy and this and that. Everyone has some little adjustment to make, but otherwise it's nice. But it's not nice. This is what we have to understand, and this is what Prabhupada is trying to teach us. There was one story, and Prabhupada was giving a class.
And of the class, one Mataji, he raised her hand. And she asked, Prabhupada, are there these books in the hell? Because she probably wanted to say, you know, if there is these books in the hell, I want to go to hell and distribute these books. And she Prabhupada, he nodded. He said, yes. He said, we have these books in London. So there are books. She said, no, Srila Prabhupada, you didn't understand me. I want to know, is these books, do they exist in hell? Do the inhabitants of hell have these books for their liberation? Prabhupada said, yes, we have them here in London. And she said, no, Prabhupada, you didn't understand my point. You know, my point is that, do they have these books in hell? And then when she asked this for the third time, when Brahmachari, he became really impatient. You know, and he jumped on her and he yelled at her. Srila Prabhupada means to say that London is hell. You mean to say that London is not hell? You ask him, do they have these books in hell? And he says, yes, we have these books here. He means to say very clear that we are living in hell. But you are thinking that hell is something else. And we're all thinking that hell is something else. We all think it's nice, you know. After all, it's okay. But actually it is hell. Why it is hell? Why it is so hell is because, as it being explained here, three enemies are here. These three enemies are always harassing us. We have lust and we have anger. When our lust is not satisfied, when our lust is not really fulfilled, then we become angry. You know, if something is not as we desire, if our desire is not fulfilled, then we become really angry. Why we become angry? Because our desire has to reign supreme in this world. Because we are God, right? And, you know, God means, you know, our desire is the main. But somehow or other, all these stupid people, they don't understand this, you know, and they don't fulfill my desire. Therefore, I get angry. This is Krodha. And then, if I fulfill my desire, if I somehow or other manage to fulfill my desires, and some people are lucky, according to the dualistic mentality of the people in this world, according to this duality, some people are unlucky. This is those people who cannot fulfill their desires and therefore they're always angry. And there are lucky people who can fulfill their desires and they're greedy. You know, this is again ridiculous. Those which is goes under the name of being auspicious is actually the accumulation of wealth, which is greed. You know, if your desires are being fulfilled, you become greedy and more greedy and more greedy and more greedy. And this is yet another enemy. And because of this anger and greed, you know, anger and greed belongs to tamagun. Both these qualities of our psyche, of our heart, the anger and greed, they belong to tamagun. And because of tamagun, we get bewildered. Krishna also explained in Bhagavad Gita, that dayata visayan pumsak sangasti supajayati sangasanjayati kamak krodha vijayati. Krodha bhavati sammoha. From krodha comes moha. And from lobha also comes moha. Moha means the lack of discrimination. Because of anger and because of greed, we completely lose our discrimination. And because of moha, we lose our intelligence. And because of the intelligence, everything is finished. Because we lose the intelligence, if we don't have the intelligence, if we don't have the power to discriminate, which is being destroyed by the greed and by anger, passion, which is being destroyed, our discrimination is being destroyed, everything is being destroyed. The whole our life is being destroyed because of this lack of discrimination. So the next development in this degrading stages of human devolution is that moha, bewilderment. And after moha comes matsarya, after moha comes mada. And mada means pride. And after pride comes matsarya, the enmity. And matsarya is the combination of these five, of the five previous things. These are the six enemies which are there within our heart. And the first one is the separate desire, desire separate from the Lord. And it brings us to complete ruination because we accumulate enmity in our life. But somehow or other, again, people are in such an illusion that they think that there is nothing wrong with lust. You know, people, when the lust becomes less, they go to doctor and they say, can you give me some medicine to increase my lust? Something is wrong with me. My lust is being diminished. So I need some new medicine to have more lust and more anger and more greed. You know, people are so stupid. They're so attached to these things. They think that these three are our best friends. That the lust is our best friend. Because what is the use of living without lust? Once I was preaching to one lady. And I told her that, you know, there is this highest method of yoga, because so many people are into yoga. And I told her that the highest method of yoga is to adjust your consciousness towards the consciousness of the Lord. And to do this, you have to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So she started doing this, and I met her after 10 days or a couple of weeks. And I asked her, do you do this? She said, no. I said, why? She said, because when I started chanting this mantra, I realized that my desires are becoming less and less and less. They shrink and shrink and shrink. And how I can live without desire? So I gave it up. She said, I became so peaceful that I cannot live in this condition. I have to have this. So I gave it up. So people, they're attached to lust. They're attached to greed. They're attached to anger. You know, if you tell somebody, get rid of this, they will think, you know, how you can live with this, without this? You cannot live without this. There is this great saint of the Christian religion, Saint Augustine. And he has this autobiography where he's explaining when he was young, when he just had this belief in God, when Shraddha entered his heart, he immediately, together with this Shraddha, because Shraddha, facing God, means that we understand that something is wrong with our karma. You know, these two things don't go well together. Believing God and lust, they don't really in harmony. And every sane living entity can understand this. You know, that lust is against our believing God. Because lust means that we're whimsical, that we want to say that only my desire has to be fulfilled. And this is totally against the desire of the Lord. So this Saint Augustine, he's writing in his autobiography that when he was young, he was praying to God. Because he understood that there is God and I have to pray to Him. And he was praying, please, please, free me from lust. And then he said, and usually I would add, but not now. Please, my dear Lord, free me from lust, but not now. Don't do it now, because I'm too young. And young means I can enjoy my senses. Young means that I still have some time. You know, when I become old, then I can be free from lust. Okay. When I cannot enjoy anymore. But if you don't get rid of lust now, you will never get rid of lust. There is a saying, Chanakya Pandit is saying that. There is a very nice saying, I don't remember the Sanskrit, but there is a very nice saying that, you know, the teeth are falling out, right? And the liver doesn't work, and all the hairs are gray. Everything is being deteriorated. Everything is being destroyed. The only one thing which is not being destroyed, that is desire within the heart. Everything else is finished. The teeth are finished, the liver is finished, the heart is finished, the senses are finished, everything is finished. You cannot see, you cannot really taste anything, but desire is as strong as ever. It's amazing, the power of this material desire, material lust, it's as strong in an 80 years old body as it is strong in 18 years old body. It doesn't mean that when you get older, it doesn't mean that your desire becomes less. You want to enjoy it. Prabhupada was joking. You know, once he was in France, in Paris. And Paris is famous for being a place for sense gratification. And Prabhupada was, early in the morning, he was riding in the car, and he saw old men going from the, you know, from the nightclubs, when they enjoy with women and drink wine. And Prabhupada, he was crying when he saw this old man who completely humiliate themselves. they cannot really, you know, they cannot really enjoy their senses. They cannot. But they still they're trying. Still they hope against hope. Somehow or other, last moment of my life, I have to somehow or other squeeze out enjoyment. The whole body is destroyed because of this surplus, because of this excess of unnatural enjoyment, but still people are trying to do it again and again and again. And therefore, it is said here that these enemies are there. And these enemies have to be finished. If we want to go to Vaikuntha, it means that we have to get rid of this root cause of all our problems. And the lust is the root cause of all our problems. Once, also Prabhupada asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, after big stage program, I believe it was here in Bombay, and Prabhupada was coming down from the stage, and so many people came to him, and so many people were praising him and worshipping him and going down to him. So Prabhupada asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, what do you think? What is the reason? Why do they worship me? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj started saying, you know, because you're a messenger from Vaikuntha, because you came here in this world. Prabhupada smiled and said, no, because I have conquered lust. That's the only reason why they worship me. That's the only reason why somebody can be worshipable in this world. Somebody who has conquered the lust, that's the only reason for somebody to be worshipped. Because this is the most difficult thing. Everything is coming from the lust. All our problems are coming from the lust. Our psychological problems, physical problems, social problems, family problems, they all originate in lust. And the only way to solve all problems, the only way to adjust our consciousness toward Vaikuntha consciousness is to get rid of lust. But our problem is that we don't want to get rid of lust. That's the problem. We want to keep it just little, you know. Little lust for ourselves, just in case we need it. But it is very clearly said here, it's an enemy. You have to fight with this enemy. You have to fight every day of your life. You have to fight with this enemy. It is explained, acharyas are explaining that the six consecutive births of Jayan Vijay, in each and every six of these births, they manifest one of these qualities, which are the six main enemies of the human being. When they were born as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha is the manifestation of greed. And actually the first enemy which you have to fight with is the greed. The greed to accumulate more and more. The greed for sense gratification. You know, because we always say it's not enough, right? It's the, you know, we always say little more, little more, little more. So the first enemy which we have to fight, and the first enemy which was killed by Krishna was Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyaksha is the manifestation of greed. And then Hiranyakashipu, the pride. You know, because what is the reason for pride? Greed. You know, there's somebody who is proud in this world, somebody who has something. Somebody who has some intelligence, somebody who has some money, somebody who has this and that. This is all the reason for pride. So unless you fight, unless you kill your greed, you cannot really kill your pride. If you are still greedy, you will be proud. So it is explained that first you have to kill Hiranyaksha within your heart. Then you will have to kill Hiranyakashipu. And then comes Kumbhakarna and Ravana. Kumbhakarna means illusion. Kumbhakarna means moha, and moha means the lack of discrimination. The next stage which you have to do, you have to develop your intelligence to discriminate between good and bad, between what is really your enemy and what is really your friend. Who is your friend and who is your enemy? That only the Lord is your friend. Here, the Lord is called Vikuntha Bratuk. Bradu значит brother. And he said that he is Vaikuntha brother. Our brother is there, our father is there, our closest relative is there. He's our friend. So the next enemy which we have to kill is Kumbhakarna, which is the manifestation of illusion. And then Ravana comes. You know, unless and until you are very clear in your mind, unless and until you are very clear in your intelligence, you will not be able to fight with karma, with lust, with Ravana within your heart. Because if you are a little unclear, and we want to be unclear, it's actually also explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita that everyone in this world wants to be little hazy in his mind. Because when you are hazy, it's easier to do nonsense. Because it's when you are very clear in your mind, then it's little difficult. Therefore, people drink wine. Why do they drink wine? To become crazy. To become totally absent-minded. To do nonsense. To have the freedom to do nonsense. Therefore, it is said that the next enemy, you can only fight with the lust if you're totally clear in your mind. When you kill your Kumbhakarna, then you can kill Ravana, who is the manifestation of lust. And then Dantavakra comes. And Dantavakra is the manifestation of anger. And you can kill your anger only if you kill lust. And then when you kill all the five, then only you can Shishupal, Matsari. Shishupal, the envy towards God. Because our envy, our evil feeling within the heart, it's ultimately directed towards Him. We think it's about somebody else, but ultimately it's against the Lord. We are envious of the Lord. And we can get rid of all these enemies only if we understand that we have to get rid. This is the first condition which should be there. And then only our consciousness will be bloomed. Before that, our consciousness is suppressed. And this is the condition of the living entities within this material universe. It's suppressed and Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this, that this is Sankuchita Chetana. That the living entities who don't believe in God, who don't bloom their consciousness towards God, who don't open their hearts towards God, who don't say, "My dear Lord, you are my Lord and Master," who don't say, "Vaikuntha Vijaya, you are the master of this universe," those who don't say this, their consciousness is subtracted. It's not really blooming consciousness. To open our consciousness, to achieve the stage of Vaikuntha consciousness, of Purna Vikachita Chetana, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained, he explains that there are five stages of consciousness. The highest stage of consciousness, Purna Vikachita Chetasa, is only when you open your heart towards the Lord. And then you say, you know, "You are my brother, you are my father, you are my lover, you are my son, and I am your servant eternally." And when you open your heart like this, then all the enemies, they flee away from your heart. And then your desire and your consciousness works in harmony with the desire or consciousness of the Lord. And this is the highest perfection of life, highest possible perfection which we have to strive to achieve. And for this purpose we chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama." Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Questions? It's too late. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. As you explained that Bombay is happening. Okay, and you know, stay in Bombay, I'm staying in the Raja Dharita. Then isn't
Ras Bihari temple does not belong to Bombay. It's not a part of Bombay. It's a part of Vaikuntha. And Prabhupada said that this is like embassy. You have to. This is where you get the visa to go to Vaikuntha. An embassy, they technically they don't belong to the country where they situated. They belong to the country of their origin. So this is not hell. Because there is very strong some conscious desire to keep the lust. Consciously we may strive to get rid of the lust. And that's good. That's the first step which we have to make. But subconsciously there is a resistance. It's not because our psyche is very complex. Therefore, yes, our intelligence, being convinced, say, yes, you have to get rid of lust. But at the same time, there are some still unresolved problems. And these unresolved problems, they say, no, I don't really want. It's too quickly, later. It's basically, our desire is not strong enough. What is going on now, and this moment, We are fighting with the lust. But the lust is stronger than our desire to get rid of it. Therefore, we are again and again being the victim of lust. Why we are being the victim of lust? Because our desire is not strong. Yes, we do have desire to come to God. No doubt about it. Because we have faith in God, because we are coming, because we are trying to do this. It means that the desire is there, but still the lust is stronger. So the way of spiritual life is the gradual fanning of our desire. When the first spark of Shraddha comes to our heart from the lotus mouth of spiritual master, it's very small. The Shraddha is there, but it's little, it's tiny. So we have to fan. The practice, the sadhana which we do, everything else which we do is the means for us to make this desire stronger and stronger and stronger. And when it's strong enough, then the lust will flee away from our heart. But before that point, it will be still there. It still will be there. And it's not that easy. It's actually quite a difficult struggle. And there should be some time before the victory will take place within our heart. Like once, sometimes people, they have this illusion prematurely that they are free from lust. One disciple came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Srila Prabhupada, I'm totally, completely free from lust." Srila Prabhupada looked at him and he said, "What's wrong with you? Maybe you should go to doctor." It means it doesn't happen so easily. Even if sometimes for a few days we are an illusion that I conquered your lust, maybe we should go to doctor and see if we clearly see what is there within our heart. But the practice of spiritual life, the sadhana, is there to make our desire towards God stronger than the lust. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaurav Premananda.